Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Today, we are excited to have with us Professor Heidi K. Brown of Brooklyn Law School to talk to us about her wonderful and much-needed new book titled Untangling Fear in Lawyering, A Four-Step Journey Toward Powerful Advocacy. Welcome, Heidi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us, and more importantly, on behalf of the legal profession, thank you for writing this book. Let's go right to the difficult question. What's wrong with fear anyway? Hasn't it motivated generations of attorneys? Hasn't it spurred excellence and driven people to be better?
Well, in my own experience, really grappling with fear through almost a two-decade career in the legal profession and really trying all the messages that we hear about fear that, like you just said, like it's a good motivator, it prompts us to do our best work, I kept trying to internalize all of those messages, but my fear never diminished, and my fear was somewhat destructive instead of constructive. So when I started researching fear, I realized for me that the message about fear being a positive thing wasn't actually helpful for me to do my best work. So instead, I found that untangling fear, trying to understand the science of it, what happens to our brains and bodies when we experience that fight or flight or freeze response, how can we recognize when it's happening, and then sort of change our approach to fear, change our relationship with it, and grasp the positive motivational aspects of it, but then be able to distinguish those from the negative aspects of fear, set aside those destructive aspects of it, and then reframe our mental and physical approach to handling those reactions, and then move into performance experiences in a more powerful manner.
Now, I'm sure over the years, Heidi, as you were on your journey towards untangling fear and grappling with your own personal fear, that people said to you, and they probably say to you right now, well, if you're so fearful of performing in court or consequences of a missed deadline, etc., why are you in the legal profession anyway? How do you respond?
I definitely heard those messages, that if this is so scary for you or anxiety-producing or stressful, you know, why don't you go do something else? Or why don't you choose a different aspect of the profession that's not so performance-oriented? And, you know, I internalized those messages for years, and now that I'm a law professor and I'm seeing fearful students and our newest generation of lawyers experiencing the same fears that I did, I realized that those messages about, well, go do something else, or maybe try an aspect of the legal profession that's not so performance-driven, are actually also unhelpful, probably well-meaning, but not helpful, and also we're going to miss out on a huge cadre of voices that really need to be heard. So I like to sort of flip that approach and say, no, we don't need to encourage fearful law students or lawyers to leave the profession or to do an aspect of the profession that's less stressful or anxiety-producing. Instead, we can help them understand fear. Again, I love the word untangling it because it's not just ignoring it, repressing it, trying to overcome it. It's really digging into it. What is it? What's happening to us, again, mentally and physically when we experience fear? And how can we really become masters of our own fear, and then we can be the best advocates we can possibly be instead of just ignoring it or opting out and going and doing something else. Our profession would really miss out on a huge number of voices that need to be a part of our profession.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Heidi K. Brown, a professor at Brooklyn Law School, about her new book titled Untangling Fear in Lawyering, A Four-Step Journey Toward Powerful Advocacy, published by the American Bar Association. And speaking of the ABA, Heidi, one of the sources that you cite fairly frequently in Untangling Fear is the ABA Task Force on Lawyer Wellness. Could you tell our listeners a bit about that document?
Absolutely. I'm so excited and encouraged that the ABA, in conjunction with other entities, formed this task force in 2016 to really take a hard look at our profession and how we might be doing things that are detrimental to the well-being of law students and lawyers and what we can do about that. And so in 2017, they issued a report, and it's a really important read for all of us in the profession. And it really is a call to action for us to take a hard look at ourselves, be vulnerable, be transparent, look at things that we can do better to improve the lives of lawyers and really enhance our performance, not only substantively, but mentally, physically. I look at us as lawyers as sort of the whole lawyer. It's not just being smart or intelligent. We have to be mentally and physically healthy too, just like athletes do. So the report is a really important call to action, and it's not just that they issued this report. They've really put these toolkits into place. There's an amazing toolkit. Anne Brafford, I think one of the co-authors of the report, has created a toolkit with a lot of contributors giving particular worksheets and very practical tips for people in our profession to work on these aspects of well-being and just be stronger, more powerful advocates by being healthier advocates. So I highly encourage everyone to read the report and see how individuals can contribute to this mission as well. There's also a well-being pledge that the task force has initiated. And I think also in conjunction with a working group of the ABA, and many constituencies in our profession have started to sign the pledge, law firms, corporate counsel offices, and law schools, which is just a very exciting validation that our profession is starting to look at these issues really seriously.
You mentioned a tremendously controversial word several moments ago, the word vulnerability. And as I think through my career, I would rather have died at certain points than showed to certain judges, prosecutors, co-counsel, other colleagues that I was vulnerable. How do we grapple with that term? How do we make peace with that term? And does the manifesting of vulnerability cause a huge change within the legal profession?
In my opinion, it definitely does in the most positive way. I'll just share a personal experience about vulnerability throughout that I talk about a lot in my book. But throughout my litigation career, when I would get nervous, I have a really robust blushing response. And it's not like I could hide the fact that I blush. I turn red when I'm nervous or anxious or just stressed. And I worked in the construction industry, very intense moments in depositions, in courtroom scenarios, even if I wasn't the center of attention. And I always tried to hide it, even though obviously it's impossible to hide my face at the time. I would wear turtlenecks and scarves and things to try to hide my what I perceived as vulnerability or a weakness. And as I started studying my own fear, I realized that by trying to hide my vulnerability, I was actually making myself less capable of performing. So I started to just embrace my blushing and just own it. I read this great book by an author named Erica Hilliard, who described blushing as life coursing through me. And it was just kind of a funny way for me to say, okay, I'm just going to embrace the fact that this is my manifestation of anxiety or fear. And now I'm able to control it a lot more. It still happens, but now I can walk into presentations and not be afraid that that's going to happen. So to me, that's just sort of a reflection of how when we are able to be vulnerable and like I'm able to speak to newer lawyers and share that, yes, I was afraid. Yes, I made mistakes. But here's how you can open up dialogues about being afraid or open up dialogues about the fear of making a mistake, and in that regard, prevent mistakes from happening or untangle your fear instead of faking it like I tried to do for so many years. So to me, vulnerability is really the key to all this. I mean, obviously, as lawyers, we sort of fake bravado a lot in negotiations or in trying to persuade someone else to do things. We don't want to show weakness. But in my opinion, when we're working on issues like this, to really be our best selves, to be our most powerful advocate selves, being vulnerable, transparent, open about our worries, about our anxieties, about our fears, and having dialogues in law offices really across the country, we can strengthen ourselves, our ability to make decisions, solve problems, and really enhance the lives of lawyers and the well-being of the people in our profession by being vulnerable.
When you were studying fear, did you notice a divide between male and female lawyers in terms of the frequency of fear, the causes of fear, and the manifestations of fear?
Well, I'll share kind of two viewpoints on that. One, just anecdotally, I've observed as a law professor, I offer these oral argument anxiety workshops. So students who are afraid of the mandatory oral argument experience, I offer these workshops, and I've done them at two different schools. And typically, just anecdotally, I don't have hard data to back this up at the moment, but normally it's about 90% female, my attendees at those workshops. But I do have male students or junior attorneys coming to me and saying, I'm really nervous about this, but I don't want other people to know I'm nervous about this.
Uh-huh.
So I think my female students are more open, at least it seems, to actually coming together as a group and acknowledging their fears in front of each other. Similarly, as I've been writing about fear in a couple smaller pieces, smaller articles, but also when the book came out, I've also really enjoyed hearing from lawyers in various parts of the country, different areas of practice, different levels of seniority in practice, and it's honestly been split 50-50, not exactly 50-50, but very commonly I'll hear equally from men and women about their fears, and I've really enjoyed bonding with readers about that, but I've seen men and women opening up on a one-on-one basis about their fear, whereas maybe the male attorneys don't want to speak about it among their colleagues, but they certainly are sharing with me that they experience fears just like female attorneys do. So I think it's definitely something that we grapple with whether we are male or female.
One of the strategies that you yourself have implemented is called stop, drop, and roll. What do you mean by that term?
So I think we all might recall the firefighter mantra from when we learned in elementary school about fire, stop, drop,
uh-huh.
and roll. But for me, that's a technique that I use when automatically when I anticipate a performance event in my lawyering persona, or I used to anticipate an intense deposition or courtroom appearance or negotiation with, a tough opposing counsel or a strong personality, I would have those immediate fear responses, the rapid heart rate, the adrenaline rush, I couldn't think straight. And in the past, I was trying to apply those messages of just fake it, just do it, fear is good for you, just barrel in there. But what I do now is I remind myself of the stop, drop, and roll mantra. And so when I hear sort of the negative soundtrack in my head, oh, you're gonna blush again, or you're gonna turn red, everyone's gonna think you don't know what you're doing, you might look incompetent. What if this happens? That catastrophizing. I'm able to catch myself way faster now and think, oh, this is just fear again. Stop, drop, and roll. I'm not literally gonna drop and roll, but in my mind, I acknowledge that those traditional, automatic, instinctive messages I've been playing in my head for really decades. It's just what I do. It's just what happens, but I can recognize it, stop, and then sort of launch a new soundtrack in my mind. I've prepared for this. I've done the work. I know what I'm talking about. I'm entitled to have a voice. I'm entitled to say these words in my own voice, in my own authentic voice, and I'm going to do the best job I can because I've prepared for this. So the stop, drop, and roll for me is sort of a mental reboot in the moment.
And that will have to be the last word. We've been talking with Professor Heidi K. Brown of Brooklyn Law School about her book titled Entangling Fear in Lawyering, a Four-Step Journey Toward Powerful Advocacy, published by the American Bar Association, and it's available if you go to the ABA's website at shopaba.org. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for sharing your journey, and thank you for researching and digging very, very deeply into the nature of fear. You've been listening to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere. Have a good day.